Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for this time that we have tonight to open your word, to draw closer to you, to see what you have to say to us tonight, Lord. I just pray that you fill this room with your presence, fill it with your spirit, and just draw us closer to you. Help us to just be open to what you have to say and to just be here listening to your word, Lord. And we just thank you so much for it. And in your name we pray. Amen. First of all, I just want to say also thank you guys so much for keeping my family in prayer. Amanda's here tonight. It's been a fun couple weeks, lots of hospital visits. Nobody likes to sleep in the hospital, but sometimes you got to do it. And it's been interesting, but we're hopefully through it. We think she passed two kidney stones, so that's always fun. Twins. And so we're back home, and thank you for your prayers. It's just a blessing to have a family that cares so much. I didn't tell a lot of people. I just kind of, you know, let the staff know, and then everybody knew, which is great. And then everyone came up to me and was praying and saying encouraging words and lifting, and I could feel it. So I just want to say thank you to you guys. It's a huge blessing. And I love the fact that I'm part of this family that takes care of us like this. I don't know what I'd do without you guys. So thank you for that. With that, let's get started. So tonight, it's always interesting. And I wore my Calvary shirt for Gary because he's not here tonight to see it. But just in case you're missing him a little bit, you know, he's in Israel having a good time. But hopefully just make you feel a little bit more at home. I only have one Hawaiian shirt, so don't, you know. I just wear it every now and then when I get to teach. So I'm excited about that. But we're going to talk a little bit about something that's been on my heart for a while now. And let's make sure this is working. I got this cool little thing. All right. There we go. Oh, we're back. Okay, we're going to be talking about peace. Now, in light of even recent things, which I started this study about 2 weeks ago, so it's always ironic when you go through a study and then you get thrown into a situation where you have to rely on that study and on that word to make it through some of those things. But that's exactly what happened here. But this is something that's also been on my heart for a while. just the idea and the topic of it and what we do when we focus and we look for peace. What is peace with us as Christians in the world? That's what I want to look at tonight. It's been something that God has drawn me deeper into. And so that's what I want to share. And that's really what I want to focus on. I'm going to take it a little bit different than I think most people would, but I think it'll be very beneficial for us tonight, so stay with me. So first of all, we all know that there's really no peace, right? there's really not. When you look at the world as a whole, within the world, you don't see very much peace. I did research, and I came up with a lot of different numbers, and I kind of pulled them together and came up with, well, basically most people say in the last 5 to 4,500, which is all of human history written from the flood on, which is proof of the flood, is that's when human history really starts, the writings that we have. In those last 4,500 to 5,000 years, there's only been, they say, the experts, right, they say about 292 years of peace. You know, relative peace. You know, not 100% peace, but no giant global world wars for a couple of those years, which equates to about 6% peace. So you could extrapolate that to someone's life, and in our lives, we experience maybe within in the world as a whole about 6% of times that are peaceful. So the rest of the 94%, you're in turmoil and conflict, and there's struggle in the world. So it's kind of a depressing statistic, but it's true, and I think we all would agree with that. No one would think that would be not the case. And also, you even look at non-threatening wars or things like that, and since 650, I found this statistic. There have been 1,656 armed races, and only 16 of which have ended with not having war, and the rest of them have ended in war or bankruptcy for the countries. So over 1,600 conflicts that aren't necessarily war, but are also conflicts of not having peace. So I would say it's safe to say that our world is not a very peaceful place, and that's on a global scale, but neither are our lives, right? So on a global scale, we have this conflict around us, but also within our lives, we have things that we struggle with that are unpeaceful and that go against us. I can say with certainty, with pretty good certainty, that every single person in this room tonight, right now, has something in their life that is not at perfect peace, whether it be from you or from someone else or in your family or health or your jobs or whatever it may be. There's something that we all are continuing to have to deal with that is not a peaceful situation. Sometimes we make it that way, and sometimes others make it that way. But we all have these things in our lives, and I can pretty much, we could go around and we could all say things right now that are going on that are not peaceful in our lives. And you know, conflict is frustrating, right? How many of you guys enjoy conflict? Yeah, it's not fun. I naturally want to get angry. I want to make it stop, right? Are you with me? You want to make these conflicts stop. You want to stop all these things from coming against you and make peace with the world. I mean, how many of us would like more peace? Anyone? Would you like more peace? Amen. You guys can raise your hands. That's cool. All right, a couple of you guys. Most of you don't want peace, but he wants peace. All right, Jeff. How many of you guys want some more fear, anxiety, or conflict in your life? Just Jordan. Okay. I'll scare you later. All right. And you know, the question comes is, as Christians, aren't we supposed to have more peace? And this is kind of where God started challenging me in recent times, is when I didn't have this peace. And I could look at my life and say, I've done well. God has blessed me. I have a family. I have good things. Why do I not feel this peace? Why am I feeling unsettled? And that's kind of where I really want to focus on tonight. Because the truth of the matter is as Christians, as we walk through this life, we oftentimes feel this way. Unsettled, at odds with things, at odds with the world and the people around us. So let's look, of course, at what the Bible has to say about peace. Now, the Bible says a lot about peace, as you would imagine. I found that it's about 430 times peace is mentioned throughout the Bible, depending on your translation or what version you have. And you probably all have a favorite verse that I'm sure, a psalm, something that brings peace and comfort to you from one of these verses. I know I have a couple. But there's a passage in Luke that recently just really jumped out at me when it comes to this subject. So turn with me to Luke 12. I'm going to get a drink. Uh-oh, there's two waters, and I don't know which one's mine. Okay, that one's not open, so. So Luke 12, 49 through 53 is where we're going to kind of build off of for this study. Now, this is Jesus speaking, and if you have a red letter Bible, you would know that. It says, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed am I till it is accomplished? Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Well, of course, the mother-in-law thing, you know, we see that. Now, this is not your typical verse that you would use to show peace, right? I bet when I asked what your favorite verse of peace was, none of you guys had this one in mind. In fact, I didn't really ever, I mean, I've read through Luke multiple times, and when I read this recently, I literally stopped and went, I don't remember reading this before. Have you ever done that? You've read through a book, you know, 100 times, but then you something hits you in a way that you're like, is this, wow, I never noticed this in this book before. And I think at the time, you know, God's really trying to speak to me, and he's showing me the verse, and I'm thinking, wow, this is intense. This is a pretty insane verse. I have come to bring fire upon the earth. I wish it was kindled. I wish, I am distressed. Do you think that I came to bring peace on earth? No, I came to bring division. And there's something very important here that I started to realize. You know, Jesus is basically saying he didn't come to give peace. But this is interesting because if you consider the very beginning of Luke's gospel, the very beginning of this exact gospel, we see this verse in 2:14 that says, on the earth, goodwill, peace on earth and goodwill towards men, right? So we know that peace is part of God's plan. And in fact, we have it in this book itself in the beginning. And it seems kind of like a contradiction at first. You look at this and it takes you back for a moment as, what? How does this make sense? This is a contradiction. So I started to look at these verses closer because they have the same three words in that part. On earth, peace, or peace on earth. Slightly different order, but the same three words. Well, the first two words, the two main words, peace and earth, are the exact same in the Greek. There's no help there when I looked at those. But the word on is different. There's two different words in the Greek here for the word on. In verse 2:14, it says, on earth, peace. That on, the Greek for that is epi, in case you speak Greek, which I don't, but epi, which is literally means upon. And in 12:51, the peace or the word on earth here is literally translated en, which is in, which is directly in. So upon and in. So here we have the difference between upon versus in. And that makes all the difference when we look at it. When we look at these two ideas of peace, this is huge because we have a peace upon man or peace within man. Peace upon earth or peace within earth, right? And here's the problem. The problem is that I realized I had been doing, and that I know we've all fallen into, is that sometimes what we do is we equate peace, the idea of being peaceful, we equate peace to being peaceful in the world and in our circumstances. We go with the in instead of the upon. We are trying to make peace with the things around us, with the world, with earth, with creation itself. You know, we don't want to offend people. We don't want to be offended. We don't want to have conflict. We hate being hated. How many of you guys hate being hated? Yeah, it's like, I really don't want anyone to not like me. Well, that's just not reality. As great as I am, people hate me sometimes, you know? And we want things to go smooth, right? Don't we want, isn't that usually what we always want? And we pray for that too. When it's not bad, we say, you know, have a great trip. I hope it's smooth travels and I hope you get there with no problems and it's uneventful when you go places. And we went to, for our anniversary, we went to Cabo for our 10-year anniversary. So it was our first time. Now, this is like the first time we had taken a vacation since we had kids and since we got married. So in 10 years, I'm like, finally, we get a vacation, and we got this deal with a friend, and we were all excited, and we literally went to Cabo in the middle of the worst hurricane they have ever had. And we're getting there, and as we're flying in, they're like, we don't know if we can land. We might have to turn around and go back to San Diego. And we're like, you've got to be kidding me. This is the first vacation we've taken in 10 years since we've been married, and we're going to turn around and go back to San Diego. And it was frustrating. I wanted things to go smoothly, but you know what? It worked out. We had a lot of fun, and it was a great adventure. It was awesome. Actually, I wouldn't take it back. I wouldn't go back and change it. But we want things to go smooth. We want things to be nice and simple and easy. But the truth is, that's just not how the world works. And the problem is when we try to equate our peace that we have in our lives to those circumstances. We try to mesh them together. If I'm not peaceful, if the world's not peaceful around me and things aren't going well, then I don't have peace about life and I'm struggling. And that's where we get into trouble. This focus of peace, of the wrong kind of peace, it seeps into our theology and it seeps into our thinking and it seeps into our heart. We get frustrated, we get weak, we get weary, and we start asking, God, where's your peace? Where's your peace in my life, God? We're in the middle of a hurricane. What's going on? And this is just the wrong mindset. The disciples had this issue. If you look at the disciples, many times they were confused of what was going on. And, you know, in Luke 19, it says that they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. They were focused on what was happening in their circumstances. They wanted the kingdom of God to be immediate. They wanted to have peace on earth right then, right there, and for everything to be perfect from then on. They had no idea what they were headed into. And if Jesus had told them earlier in the story, hey, you're all going to be martyred, come on, let's follow me, they probably would have had a second thought about that. So he doesn't reveal all these things. He brings them. He guides them. But not through peace. He guides them to turmoil. He shows them through messy areas what it's really truly like to follow him, so that when the time came to become these martyrs, they were able to do it. So it's a different kind of focus. We have to focus and have the right mindset on the proper kind of peace. The truth is, you know, I think one of the issues is that we've become pretty comfortable in America as a quote-unquote Christian nation. It may be turning, and it is turning, but we've become comfortable in this area where we really don't see a lot of conflict within our own borders. We really don't see the same type of persecution against us as Christians as they do around the world. And when our cage gets rattled a little bit, we're much more sensitive. And, you know, I see, not only myself at times, but I see in a lot of people, this is causing a lot of fear and anxiety in Christians and churches, because these times are changing and it's getting worse. And a lot of people are very fearful of this. And you see it in media and online and things, that people are getting really worked up about the fact that the world doesn't like us that much. Getting really upset that society doesn't really love Christianity, right? And that's not something that we need to take and apply to the fact that we shouldn't have peace of. And we need to be ready, because more persecution is coming. And the better we understand the proper type of peace that we have in Christ, the better we'll be able to, like the disciples, go through these trials and tribulations. I read a story of a journalist. She was assigned to Jerusalem, she had an apartment overlooking the Wailing Wall. Every day she looked out and she saw the same Jewish man praying vigorously at the wall. So one day she went down and introduced herself, and she asked the old man, "How long have you come here, and what have you been praying for?" The old man replied, "I come here every day for the last 25 years. In the morning, I pray for world peace and for peace between humanity. I go home, have a cup of tea, I come back, and I pray for the eradication of illness and disease on all the earth." The journalist was amazed and asked, "How does it make you feel to come here every day for 25 years and pray that?" The old man looked at her sadly and said, "It's like I'm talking to a wall." Now, take a minute. Okay. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't pray for our country and we shouldn't pray for peace and for our circumstances. We definitely need to put those things and give those things to the Lord and leave them at his feet. But what I am saying, and I think what Jesus is saying here in this passage, is that making peace with these things of the world shouldn't be our focus. And it's not the reason Jesus came the first time. Ultimately, there will be no peace on this earth until he returns the second time to reign as king. So while we should pray for our circumstances and pray for the troops and for the wars, those shouldn't be our focus. They should be secondary. They should be part of the outflow of the Spirit, but after the fact of praying and seeking the proper kind of peace. The idea, I think, and this is, you know, more of a society idea, but it's crept into the church, the idea that Christianity or Christians should never offend anyone. It's just wrong. It's ridiculous. And yet, some of us have bought into this idea ourselves. I've at times bought into this idea that, hey, I want to be overly nice at the cost of standing up or being truthful. And that's dangerous, because that's not how it works. That's not true. It's simply not where peace comes from. Now, we do have peace. It's good news. We absolutely do. As Christians, we have a different kind of peace than the world can ever strive for. As believers in God and followers of Jesus Christ, we have two types of very important peace that we need to focus on. And this is where we're going to show how we should be looking at this subject. We have the peace of, or peace with God, and we have the peace of God through Jesus Christ. Because of Christ, because of his atoning sacrifice on the cross, because he reconnected us with God the Father, we have peace with God, and we have the peace of God. We do not have peace with the world, and we do not have peace from the world. Those things are a figment of our imagination at times. The truth is, you know, faith in Jesus, it closed one type of division. It closed the division that we had between us and God. But it opened a whole new door of division between us and the world. So we have true peace with God. In Romans 5, 1, it talks about this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the salvation peace that we have. We have been reconnected with our Father. There was a division there before. In fact, there was a gulf too wide for any of us to cross. There was a spiritual disconnect that nobody could make, that billions of animals' blood could not obtain or cover for us. And so Christ himself spilt the blood so that that division would be closed. So we have peace with God. That's an amazing thing. If you just dwell on that for a minute, you and I today as believers in Christ, we have peace with God. We mess up. We're not perfect. We have all these issues. We have things. But ultimately, we have peace with God. Amen. Yeah, thank you. And as followers of Christ, when we continue to receive his guidance and we continue to receive the peace of God. See, we have peace with God, but then we have the peace of God which strengthens us, right? I love Philippians 4:7. Most of you guys know this one. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts through minds through Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus Christ, we continually are able to accept the peace of God. The peace that God has that we can't even come up with on our own. When there's times that you go through hard things and you're struggling, we can come to him and he can pour out his peace that fills us in a way that we would never even understand or know, but we can have that. And that's a continual process that he gives to us. He continues to pour out that peace upon us. So it's really amazing that we have peace with God and at the same time we have the peace of God. But by definition, because we have this kind of peace, this peace with and of God, by definition, we have division against the world. It's kind of the way it goes. Peace came down upon us, right? But peace cannot be found in us. We can't manufacture any peace on our own. Humanity and earth as a whole will never be able to come up with the answers for peace. It doesn't exist within us. As long as we look, we will never find it. It just is not there. It had to come down upon us, as we saw in the beginning of Luke. But what Jesus is saying here is that it's not in us, and he did not come to make peace with the world, but to bring the peace of God down to the world who wants it. True peace will never be found within humanity. And we should be divided. It's not a bad thing. I think we kind of get this idea that we shouldn't have, that it's unloving to be against anything. And you and I both know that's obviously not true. But Jesus, what he doesn't say, what you'll never find him say in the scriptures, you'll never find him say, if you follow me or if you want peace in your life, follow me. He doesn't say that. I think sometimes we get this idea that he did somewhere. We can find a verse somewhere that Jesus said, hey, if you become a Christian, your life will be awesome. I can't find it. It's not in there. And sometimes we even get taught that. It's simply not what the Bible teaches. In fact, the Bible, you know, really shows us the exact opposite. Instead, what Jesus is telling us, he's telling us that if you follow me, you're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations. If you follow me, you will be divided against the world. Father against son, son against father, daughter against daughter, or daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-laws, all that stuff. You know, and I think Jesus is using the point of family here, not because he's saying we should all have families that we're against. I'm blessed to have many people in my family who are believers, and it's great. Some of you don't. Some of you do. The point is, the closest people to you are second compared to what you have and what you have with God. And the truth is, you know, this is, like I said, it's not what the Bible teaches. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is a stumbling block, right? He's the cornerstone that they cast down, that the cross is offensive. The cross of Christ is offensive. It says that you will be hated for my name's sake. Not you might be. Some people might not like you. You might rub someone the wrong way. No, it says you're going to be hated for my name's sake. Not by everyone, but by the world as a whole. Yeah, absolutely. I know we hate being hated, but it's true. That's what the Bible teaches. That's, and not to be a downer, but to be realistic, when we realize that, I think that really lifts a large weight off of our shoulders of trying to appease the world and make peace with things we know we can't. And Jesus did this. We see examples of that. You know, there's many times where Jesus taught, and it says it was a hard teaching, and people left. And in this section, I have John 7:43. It says there was a division among the people because of him, because of Jesus. There was a division among the people. Jesus spoke. People went, that's crazy, I'm going over here. Or, oh my gosh, that's amazing, I'm following him. There was no in between, really. People were divided instantly. Drop Jesus into a conversation in a room of people you just met. Guarantee you'll have people, if they're Christians, they'll be like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. We're brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ. Or you'll have people be like, you are weird, I'm going to the next table. You'll get one of the two. You really will. He divides. And that's just the nature of the fact that it is truth. A true follower, if you're a true follower of Christ, there will be division in your life. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked by this. Not that we want it to happen all the time, but it's going to be. And that's actually a good sign. It's a sign that you're standing up for this truth. In fact, I would say that if there's not any division in your life with the outside world and you're getting along with the world just fine, there's a problem. That means you're probably compromising somewhere. If you can hang out with worldly non-believers and have just as much fellowship with them as you can with the church here, there's a problem. That's not healthy. We're called to love and outreach and reach out to the people in the outside world, but we're not called to fellowship with them and to be comfortable in their surroundings. How many of you guys, when you first became a Christian, all of a sudden certain scenarios were uncomfortable that weren't uncomfortable before? Certain things that you were fine doing before, all of a sudden you feel guilty about doing. That's the division right there. If it's not there, we have a problem. Now, we are called to speak the truth in love, right? Ephesians 4, speak the truth in love, meaning we're called to stand up for Christ, called to stand up for truth, but we have to do it in a loving way. We're not going to go out there and be divisive on purpose. We're not going to go to the street corner with a sign that says you're going to go to hell in downtown Las Vegas. As true as it may be for many people walking by, that's just not nice, right? It may be truth. You may stand there, and all these people walking by, they may be headed that direction. But that is not a loving way to let them know. And I bet you wouldn't get very far. And it kind of makes me sad when I see some of these tactics that Christians fall into. Because that's not what Jesus did. Jesus cared and loved for every single person he came across. Yet he still kept 100% to the truth. He never compromised once. We can do both. It's possible to do both. In fact, this peace that we're talking about, the peace of God in our lives as we walk, is what makes it possible for us to do that. Do you realize that it goes hand in hand? The peace that we seek of God, that he pours upon us through his Holy Spirit, that enables us to speak the truth in love. Because we can't just do that on our own. We need him to do it for us. And that's where our focus should be. The peace of God, basically what it comes down to is it comes at the cost of the world, because the peace of God is not of the world. John 14:27 says, peace I have with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives you do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace I have, I give you. Not the kind the world gives. Not the kind the world is seeking. Real peace. And don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Because this is true peace. This isn't the world's version of temporary distraction. This is real, true, 100% unsurpassable, ununderstandable peace that God can give to us. That's where our focus should be. That's where we need to look up and ask for it and seek it. And when circumstances are swirling around us, that's where we stop and just, Lord, I need your peace that I can't even understand why I could have it right now. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. No one can take that kind of peace from you because it's from God. It can't be stolen. It can't be taken away. The enemy can't touch it. So that brings us to this, the only thing that matters. I'm going to tell you guys, the only thing in your life that matters, in case you didn't know. You and God should be the only thing that matters in your pursuit for peace in your life. Our relationship with God through the Son needs to outweigh every single other relationship we have. That's the bottom line. Our relationship with Him needs to outweigh everything else. It needs to outweigh our human relationships, like it says here. It needs to outweigh our business relationships, our success, our money, our possessions. It needs to outweigh our passions and our drive for success, even if it's in ministry, even if it's in something that is good and is from the Lord. His relationship, your relationship with Him, needs to outweigh all those things first. Because without Him and without that relationship, without His peace, those things are just going to become unpeaceful and full of anxiety and stressful. It's an ironic thing when, as many of you are involved in ministries of some sort, you can get stressed in ministry. And it's because sometimes we lose the focus of why we're doing it and we just get into a habit and a routine, and that becomes more important than the one we're doing it for. And that's a dangerous thing. So if you take nothing else home tonight, write that one down. Our relationship with God through Jesus should outweigh every other relationship. Jesus is saying in this passage, I didn't come to make your life easier. I didn't come to make things happy and perfect for you. I came so that you could be restored to your Creator and so that you could know your Creator's pure and true peace in your life. Despite the world. Regardless of what the world throws at you. That's what He wants. That's what He's saying here. It almost seems like He's being so negative. On one hand, I did not bring peace. I bring division, and I'm going to bring fire and judgment. Amen. We need that. We want division. I don't want to be part of this crazy world. I don't want to be part of the nuts that's going on out there. It's weirder and weirder every day. Some of the things, we stopped paying for cable a couple years ago, like 2 years ago, which I'm really glad we did because it was just too expensive. And when we were in the hospital, there's cable and we're sitting there for hours. So we're like flipping through TV and I'm like, man, 2 years I haven't watched TV and it's gone way worse. Like I did not realize some of the shows that have existed out there. They're like Naked and Afraid next Tuesday night. I'm like, what is this? They put naked people out in the jungle and see if they can survive. What is going on? I'm like, oh my gosh. Sorry if you've never heard of that and now I've just ruined your night. The world is nuts. I want to be divided against the world. I don't want to be part of it. I want to be separate. I want my life to be different than the world's life. I want to have that true peace that no one can take from me, that only God can give me. So the question becomes, right? Are you seeking peace with the world and your circumstances, or are you seeking Christ? That's what we need to ask ourselves tonight. Are we seeking in certain things, maybe not all of our circumstances, but in some of our circumstances, are we trying to seek to just make peace in some way, and we compromise what Christ is maybe trying to show us. We forget that through these things, you know, Christ wants to draw us somewhere and grow us and teach us and show us things that we don't know and reveal the glory of God in these things. And all we're doing is going, I just want to make it go away. I just don't want to deal with it. Or I just want to make that person happy so they won't bug me. Or I just don't want to be not liked. I want to make them like me. And God's like, I'm trying to show you something. And we do that. And it's a losing battle, right? The only thing we gain by trying to appease the world is more frustration and more stress. You know, sometimes I find myself spending more time in my day trying to make peace with my situations than I do spending time in the peace of the Lord or making peace with the Lord. I think, if I'm going to be honest, a lot of my days I've done that. Spent most of my day trying to get things done and make peace and do what I got to do, and I'm not even spending the time with the Lord with the true peace that he has for me and the rest and the restoration and the joy that he has available for me every day. I'm too busy trying to fix things, especially as a guy. That's what we do. We fix things. And we get into this idea that we're not going to be happy unless everything's smooth. We're not going to be peaceful, and we're not going to be a good Christian unless our life is all put together. Oh, if people only knew the things I struggle with, they wouldn't think I'm a very good Christian. We all struggle with so many things. It's not that we struggle. It's where are we? Are we seeking to glorify God or glorify the world? And let's not, I don't want us to fall into that trap. I don't want us to continue to be fearful and add more anxiety and more stress into our lives by trying to make everyone happy. I think that was a big part of what God was showing me. And it really lifted a weight off. And I realized that you can just focus on him. And that's what we need to be doing. I put this quote up there. I couldn't find the guy who wrote it. I've heard it a couple times in various forms. So if you know who quoted it, you can tell me later. But it's the peace that Jesus gives us is not the absence of trouble, but rather the confidence that he is there with you always. It's nothing to do with whether we have trouble or conflict in our lives. It has to do with in that trouble, in that conflict, is he there with you? Is he showing you things? Is he guiding you through? Are you looking to him to see what's really happening? That's what the focus should be. Our focus, and when it is correct, when our focus is that, when we have done that and we're looking at him through these situations and our relationship with Christ is strong and we're trusting him and we're putting our faith in him, we become a light. We become a beacon of peace on a hill overlooking a valley of death and war and conflict that the rest of the world is in. We become the lighthouse. And the people will see that. People will see us shining at the top of this valley of destruction as they're going through the same things. And they'll look up and they'll be drawn to that. They're going to say, "What? Why is that person peaceful? What do they have?" And we can be that beacon regardless of how politically correct or tolerant it is or whatever it is. People won't really understand, they won't really even care about that. If they see that peace in your life and that light, they're going to be drawn to it or repelled by it, one of the two. But people who are searching, people who want God's peace will be attracted to it. Because the bottom line is that it doesn't matter because peace in this world is unattainable anyways. It's not even something that we can strive for. But peace with God is absolutely attainable. In fact, it's free. And it's available to every single person every day. It's available to all of it. And the peace of God is there to come back to day after day after day after day after day. I'm going to keep going because it's life stressful. After day, it's there to come back to constantly. That's the power of the peace with God and the peace of God that the world does not have, that we need to draw a line of truth and be divided so that we can be separated to his peace, be away from the world's destructive anxiety and stress and people-pleasing attitudes that we fall into, and focus on our relationship with him. Amen? Lord, thank you so much that you do give us this peace, Lord. Thank you that it's even possible to have peace with you. It's such an amazing thing to be able to let go of all these things and put them at your feet, Lord, and to just rely on what you have and just focus on what you're doing, Lord. Help us to not be distracted, to not be people pleasers, to not make peace with the world, Lord, but help us to be divided unto you and you alone. Thank you for sending your son to give us peace with you. And thank you for the spirit that you pour upon us to give us the peace of you, Lord. I just pray that you continue to strengthen us, this church, everyone here in ministry, Lord. You continue to pour out your spirit upon them and just lead them in your ways, Lord, and make them a beacon and a light on a hill that people will see and be drawn to you, Lord, and that you will be glorified. Thank you so much for all that you do and have done in our lives. And we give you this night in your name. Amen.